Hi, everyone. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks. I'm Joe McCann, back again with Phil Bush for your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. We kind of thought we might not need another one until the season actually started and we started talking about games. But, Phil, breaking news happens.
Yeah, all too and often, apparently I guess. All in 1 week.
Right. You know, at the end of the season last year after Marquette's great year, we said we didn't want to jinx it, so we didn't say it till it was over. But we said, you know, a big part of last year's success was they got through the whole season without a midseason transfer or a significant injury. Well, we have a couple of those to talk about. I guess we'll start with the most recent breaking news, and that is the really disheartening news, actually, that Dwayne Wilson is going to be out for, quote-unquote, multiple weeks with a stress fracture in his leg. Phil, first reaction when you heard that Dwayne Wilson could be out for will be out for an extended period of time?
Well, I said, thank God I bought stock in walking boots for, you know, just all the years that Marquette players have had walking boots because of stress fractures. Otule's got probably a baker's dozen of them. The reaction I feel bad for the kid because we see it constantly that as freshmen, if they get hurt, if they kind of get behind that freshman curve, that year especially, they're never really back to where they could have been. And it kind of dogs their whole career a little bit. I mean, I don't have any empirical proof of that, but I just feel like if you're starting off on the injured reserve out 4, 5, 6, 12, who knows how many weeks, it really just slows down their progression and they really don't hit their stride, pardon the pun, until maybe late in their sophomore year or early junior year.
Yeah, I would stop on saying whole career, but it does obviously stop his freshman development significantly because he's not going to be practicing probably for a few weeks. I mean, the multiple weeks thing could be anything. Multiple could be 3 weeks. Multiple could be the season.
Right.
So I guess we're not going to know for quite a while. I think by saying multiple, they just kind of want to say, don't ask us next week. Don't ask us for a while because he's not going to play. We'll tell you when he's ready. I guess I'm kind of hoping that maybe he'll be back in time for Big East play, but we have no idea what kind of shape he'll be in, how much he'll be able to contribute, and you know what the rotation's going to look like by then, who will be stepping up and who will be playing.
Right. Well, and Mr. Dawson, your table is ready. Please see the hostess. You know,
right, we'll
he's
see if he can step in.
Now.
Yeah, he's going to have to. He's going to at least in practice show he can handle it, and then we'll see how comfortable Buzz is putting him in games and letting him run the show. I think it's safe to say at this point that we can plan on Derek Wilson starting every game this year. No matter how healthy Dwayne Wilson is when he gets back, if he gets back, I think by the time he is back with the team and ready to play, Derek Wilson will be so ingrained and Buzz would be so comfortable with him at the point, I don't think he will lose his starting job this year and maybe not even next year.
Right. Well, and not only that, if Dwayne Wilson comes back, assuming it's more than just 2 weeks, if Dwayne Wilson What's that?
Which it almost certainly is.
Right. It just by the fact that they said what they said. Assuming it's an extensive number of weeks, if Derek Wilson is not the answer to the point that Dwayne Wilson needs to come in and take significant minutes coming off that injury, I'd make the argument the season is potentially lost to a certain extent at that point. Obviously that's being a little dramatic depending on when in the season he comes back. But, you know, why would you burn a year of Dwayne Wilson if the season's really kind of in the crapper at that point?
Yeah, I think that is a little bit panic mode because unlike in the past when Marquette has had injuries in their backcourt, Marquette has a much stronger front court this year. And they can, if they have to play a slow-down game and try to win games 55-52, then that's what Marquette may have to do, just really slow it down, not rely on playing too fast and running. And that may be something they have to do. Paint Touches actually wrote an article about that on Wednesday, about how they may have to change their pace, and something they brought up in that article, which is something I actually wanted to talk about, something I thought about when the injury happened, is Dwayne Wilson's situation could be very similar to Junior Cadugan's when Junior was a freshman at Marquette. If you recall, Junior tore his Achilles tendon, was originally thought to miss his entire freshman year. Marquette was pretty thin, was rotating, was only probably playing about 7 or 8 guys that season. It was Maurice Acker and Kubion and Dwight Bikes and DJO in the backcourt that year. And they just needed another body back there when they got into Big East play. And it was around January 23rd was when it was, when he came back. Junior ended up playing 12 games. Didn't score a point on the year. But what he did is he gave those guys minutes and just gave them a blow in the middle of some of these really intense games when these guys needed a rest and just needed somebody to come out and just take a few minutes from them. And I think Dwayne Wilson's impact, should he come back this year, would be more significant than that. I think he should be able to score a little bit more than Junior could do. Well, he can't score any less because Junior didn't score a point. But I think his contribution would be a little bit more, but my expectations for Dwayne Wilson now have to be significantly lower because I don't think he'll come back and instantly be an impact player. But I do. My point is, Buzz is going to face a similar decision that he faced with Junior, and that is, do I burn this guy's red shirt to help the team, or are we good without him? And I think, and I guess we'll just have to see where the team is at that point whenever Dwayne is ready.
Well, it just, it becomes interesting because it shuffles the line around. I mean, I think we have to assume Derek has proven that he can control the ball without turning it over, and he can play defense. That's two of the three things. The thing he hasn't proven, I suspect he's capable of, but he hasn't been called on, is he hasn't proven he can score. Mm-hmm. And theoretically, that's what Dwayne Wilson brought, was a point guard who could score. So having said that, you know, let's assume that we've got some assume that Derek Wilson is capable of 30 minutes a game, which seems like a lot compared to where he was in the previous years. I mean, he was doing, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it was probably 14, 15.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have a number in front of me either, but I would ballpark it at 15 or less.
Yeah, he's looking theoretically to double the minutes.
Capable of that. He didn't play 15 minutes because he got tired. He played only 15 minutes a game because they really didn't need him to.
Right. So if you assume he can play 30 minutes, that's 10 minutes left that you've got to split between John Dawson, who's at this point of extremely unknown quantity, and then maybe in a pinch, the only other possibility I see is Todd Mayo.
Well, I would almost say Mayo is more likely than Dawson.
You think so? Well, early in the season, for sure.
Yeah, right. I would think Buzz would be more comfortable with the veteran guy who can handle the ball. Maybe he's not a distributor, but if you need a guy to run the point in a pinch, especially against, you know, some of the better teams Marquette will be facing in the first half of the season, like Ohio State and Arizona State, New Mexico, I think you'd be more comfortable with the veteran guy running the show when Derek Wilson comes out of the game. And I think Derek will play in some of those games. As long as he's not in foul trouble, I would predict him playing maybe more than 30 minutes a game, maybe the entire game, as long as he's not showing any signs of fatigue and is playing well enough that Buzz trusts him out there. I think John Dawson is probably going to have to prove himself in practice that he's ready and that he can handle the press and that he understands the offense. And maybe he does. Maybe he's farther ahead than we think he is. But I think the perception coming in certainly was that Dawson was going to take a while and probably wouldn't play much this year. And maybe we would see more of him next year and certainly much more after Derek Wilson graduates in 2 years. But as it is now, yeah, he's in a position where he needs to play. And I think all options are there at the guard spots just to fill the minutes, I guess, and make sure they get to the end of the game. I think this could mean more for Jake Thomas at the two guard. I mean, Jake's not going to play the point, but if that means Mayo has to play the point, maybe we see Jake Thomas more at the two as opposed to, say, Juan Anderson or Mayo there or Johnson when those guys are out of the game. So I think all options are out there. More minutes are available, and all those guys know that as they're practicing here with a few weeks to go before the season starts.
Well, and what's interesting with the Mayo, if Mayo, and I tend to agree with you, in the beginning of the season, Mayo's definitely going to be the number two off the bench for the point guard spot. But what's interesting is the parallel to Dwight Bikes, and you mentioned Bikes earlier. Was it that same season, or was it the season after, where Bikes ended up playing the point because he had to? We didn't have enough depth at the point, and that's actually what's gotten him to his NBA career that he has now with the Raptors, is playing the point. I'm not saying that Mayo's will have the same scenario unfold for him, but it certainly, you know, provides at least a a look for the NBA, that whether he can pull it off or not. I think it's a different scenario. I just don't think Mayo's a point guard type. The only reason we're doing it is because we have to.
Right.
But, well, and it stretches everybody. I agree. Jake Thomas gets a few more minutes. I think Juwan Johnson, you know, we're gonna have to hope he lives up to the hype that's coming out of, you know, out of boot camp and out of practice, that he's potentially the best freshman.
Right. And I'll say this about Johnson. I've never seen him handle the ball, you know, play the point. Maybe he can play the point better than Mayo can.
Yeah.
I guess,
yeah,
you know,
we don't know.
Who knows? I have no idea. We may find that out sooner or later. But, you know, I think all options are on the table for Buzz. He and his staff are going to figure that out before the first game against Grambling, or Southern, I should say, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and now, I don't think you want to rush Dwayne Wilson back either. I agree.
No, there's no reason to rush him back.
You know, just let it play out. We'll see how long he's
You don't want to rush back a stress fracture.
No.
Because you don't want to have because obviously if you push a stress fracture too much, you could break it. You could have something as horrific as Kevin Ware, not to make light of it.
Oh.
But, you know, broken legs are something that can happen if you push it too far. So there's no reason to rush Dwayne Wilson back. Once he's healthy and it's 100%, we'll see where Marquette is at that point of the season. If they need him and it's early enough in Big East play, I would guess he'd jump right in there and play. And if it's, you know, late February and they're getting towards the tournament time, maybe say, well, he's not ready, let's just go ahead and do the red shirt. The red shirt decision doesn't have to be made really until much, much later. So,
well, and point in fact, you don't ever actually decide on the red shirt. I mean, if he goes the whole season without playing, then you apply for the red shirt and it's applied retroactively. If he comes, you know, so they don't really technically have to make a decision except that, hey, every game he's just not playing in those games.
I think all they're focused on right now is this season, and if red shirt comes up after the season, they'll just deal with that then.
Right.
Now, the front court is not, the back court is not the only thing that took a hit depth-wise this past week. Of course, Jameel McKay has gone the way of T.J. Taylor and Brett Roseborough and left Marquette before even playing a game. Don't really know the circumstances. That's pretty vague as to why exactly he left Marquette, but it is discouraging from the point of view of course, you're losing another front court guy. I think people are maybe more concerned about next year, where, you know, he would have probably been the tallest guy on the team next year, maybe not necessarily the best post player, but still, when you're losing depth in your front court and you really don't have any big men on the roster for next year at this point, it's a concern. But what I want to talk about now is how this affects the team for this year. And it's bizarre that he went to Marquette Madness and seemed all about Marquette and representing Milwaukee and looking forward to playing for this team. And something happened between Marquette Madness and now that he decided that Marquette was not the place for him. I wish I could figure it out. I would love to know why, so I can make a further judgment and analysis of this whole thing. But all I can say right now is this kind of stinks for Marquette.
Yeah, well, it's terrible. I mean, and especially that it came before the Dwayne Wilson injury, right after the Ahmed Hill commit. You know, we kind of just thought we were free and clear, and it's so unexpected. And he tweeted out his announcement, I think, before Marquette even released anything. So, I don't know. And you can, you know, there's several rumors out there that some of our more internet savvy listeners can probably find and look at. It sucks. It flat out sucks. You know, I don't know what to expect. I didn't have high expectations for him for this year, but it is more height, more active. You know, seemed like he's very active. There's no reason that this wouldn't have been a positive having him around. Now, with him gone, especially with Dwayne Wilson injured, it shifts a lot of stuff around. You know, with Dwayne Wilson injured, you're probably looking at Juan Anderson playing more too, Juwan Johnson playing more too, which means less time at three, meaning Jameel Wilson's probably playing a lot more at the three and less available at the four,
I kind of disagree on Jameel. I think Jameel is, I would guess now Jameel might be starting at the four. I think the more I think about it, and I know I talked more about him as more of a three in the last podcast, and of course that's what he would be in the NBA, but as far as this team goes, I see Jameel more as the starter at the four, with Steve Taylor being the backup, first guy off the bench, and then Devontae Gardner in special sets. But I think Jameel's going to be playing more in the front court this year. And I think Juan Anderson is going to be more the hybrid guy. He's going to be the switchable. He's going to be playing 2-3 and emergency, probably never playing the 4, but maybe in an emergency situation he could. But I think Jamil's skills would be best utilized defensively, rebounding, blocking shots from the 4 spot, and just kind of being more of a stretch 4 offensively.
Yeah, I can see that, and I would concede that. I think Juan Anderson's best position to be in the 3 and less in the 2. I think Steve Taylor's gonna demand some minutes, and they're gonna come at the 4. And I think Jamil Wilson really creates the most matchup problems for us at the 3.
Sure.
But to your point, in the way it's set up now with McKay gone and Dwayne Wilson out injured, Jamil almost has to play at least 20 minutes at the 4.
Right. Yeah, he's going to mix it up. He'll be all over the floor, really, Jamil will. He'll play any position that he's needed to.
Right.
But I do see him starting at the 4. That would be my amended starting lineup prediction. Right now, my amended starting lineup prediction for opening night would be Derek Wilson. I still think Juwan Johnson is good. I think he might actually start at the 2, if not Todd Mayo. And then I'd say Juan Anderson at the 3. Just same reason last year. He earned the starts in practice, and then Jamil at the 4 and Otule at the 5.
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic for Juwan Johnson or Trey J. It's just going to be easier for me. I think Derek Wilson at the 1. I'm very solid on Todd Mayo starting at the 1 or at the 2. I'm a big proponent of Steve Taylor, so this is where I think Jamil at the 3, Taylor at the 4, Otule at the 5. But I definitely see where your lineup makes sense. The question is going to be, I still think this puts the Otule-Gardner lineup in significant jeopardy, because I just don't think you can waste minutes with those two together.
Right, because then eventually you got to rest both of them, and then you're small.
Right, yeah, and then you're real small, and it's so. And the Juan Anderson, more I think about it, Juan Anderson will kind of be the locket of this season. You know, the guy that cleans up the glass and
sure.
Putbacks.
That's a good analogy. Yeah.
You know, so he'll play the locket role, which would be the 3. I just think Jamil could really shine in the swing forward, but. It, just with the pieces we have, it's a lot less likely now that we don't have McKay for depth.
Right. And, you know, back to McKay a little bit. Maybe he does have, like, a legit personal reason why he had to leave. You know, sometimes that happens and they don't talk about that, and for personal reasons, obviously. But I'll say this. If the reason he left is for depth chart and playing time issues, that's frustrating to me because the depth chart hasn't changed from the time he committed.
Right.
You know, when he committed to Marquette, he knew who was ahead of him. He knew who he was going to be battling with for minutes, and that hasn't changed now. And I would almost say, you know, more minutes have opened up for him, as time has gone by, especially as he looked towards next year, where he would be dependent on a lot as a senior. And from Buzz's perspective, you know, they say all the right things in the public, of course, saying thanks to him and his family for trusting us. Good to have him here as briefly as he was. Good luck to you. But you know, from Marquette's perspective, it has to be frustrating. It's like, why did we waste a scholarship on this guy?
Well, yeah, well, and that's one of the things I don't think a lot of people realize. McKay is still on campus. He's still taking classes. He's taking up a scholarship through the end of this semester.
Well, actually, that's probably a good thing as far as Marquette's the APR is concerned.
Well, yeah, I agree. Right. I'm not complaining about that.
You're right.
But he's still on campus. He's still there. And I suppose you could get it, you know. Who knows? Maybe he changes his mind.
Maybe he does, like, goes the way of we've seen a couple players go in the past, say, I'm leaving. Second thought, I'm coming back.
Maybe nobody else out there wants him. Right. But, yeah, I am completely frustrated by it as well, especially given, like I said, some of the rumors I've seen out there that, you know, just in terms of just the – he was apparently unhappy with potentially the way they were going to use him. It's like, do the math.
And that's something, you know, I've never been inside the recruiting process, but I would imagine that is talked about extensively when they say, hey, Jamil, we want you to play for us. This is what we'd like to do with you.
And
I would imagine that was all talked about all the way up to signing day.
Well, and you have never, in all the stories, and you and I, for God's sakes, we created a podcast about Marquette basketball. We're pretty good fans of the team. Even with those blue and gold colored sunglasses on, I have never seen anything but the highest praise around Buzz's recruiting, how he tells them like it is, how he tells them exactly how he's going to use it. I mean, for God's sakes, the story about Otule is, you know, when Buzz first went to recruit him, he told him he sucked.
Yeah, basically he said, hey, you're pretty bad, and really a big man. So
there's no reason to suspect that Buzz went into McKay's recruitment going, you know what, I'm going to kind of, you know, I'm not going to really reveal to him everything I want to do with him him.
Yeah, he didn't go to Jameel and say, hey, I promise you a starting job, whatever position you want, as soon as you come on campus. Guaranteed. I guarantee he didn't say that.
Right. Hey, we've got openings at point guard. If you're interested, we'll put you there. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So it is frustrating, and, you know, and it puts the team – now we've got – so we've got the perennial, you know, someone's in a walking boot injury. So hopefully we've got that out of our system. But with Dwayne and now Jameel gone, we're down to 11 players. You know,
and one of them came to campus as a walk-on in Jake Thomas.
Right.
So 10 guys who came to campus on scholarship.
I'm still not convinced that Jake Thomas doesn't have some sort of voodoo doll somewhere. Because he's somehow managed 4 years in a row to be the beneficiary of just the oddest circumstances to land himself a free Marquette education.
Hey, man, does Dylan Flood get a half-semester scholarship next semester?
That's a good question. Can they do that? Can they give out half-semester scholarships?
I'm not sure. Maybe that's something for the maybe that's something to look up. I don't know. I think you can.
I would assume so. I know, like, you know, for the Olympic sports, they give partial scholarships. So I would imagine you could give like half a semester or something. But I don't know. But either way, it's
farewell, Jameel McKay. We barely knew thee.
Yeah, he joined. I did enjoy your Twitter rant about the All Stars of players.
Yeah. A lot of guys on Twitter joined in on the all time we barely knew you team, and we got some good names out there. I mean, what was it? You know, T.J. Taylor, Roseboro, Neve Berkowitz. Brandon Bell was in there.
James Matthews.
Liam McMorrow.
Yep.
Was a classic.
Your quote unquote ex roommate, Crunty Hester.
Yes. those who may remember Crean's first team, Crunty Hester was the incoming freshman. He was actually briefly mistakenly assigned as my roommate. And then when I called the contact number I was getting from my roommate, his mom answered the phone and was like, oh, Crunty is on the basketball team. That was a mistake, so he won't be rooming with you. I'm like, all right. Well, see you later.
Well, given how the rest of your roommates turned out that year, Crunty might have been a much better choice.
Yeah, we don't need to discuss that on the podcast. But just to say, by the end of freshman year, I had a whole dorm at McCormick to myself, and that was just fine with me.
Yeah. So there's going to be, well, and I'm just mad because I was in meetings and couldn't participate, but it's McKay. Thanks. Great. Appreciate the moment we saw you at Marquette Madness. Let's move on, I guess.
Yeah. Moving on, I guess. On the topic of scholarships, last thing I want to wrap up with is recruiting news and talking about the future a little bit. Marquette did get a commitment, so we have some positive news on that front. Mariel Shayok, who plays, who is from Canada, actually, plays at Blair Academy now, and he is a 6'6 swingman. It looks like he plays the 3, 6'6, 205, so maybe he could be a front court player in an emergency. That's something we look for going forward. It's great to have him on board. Did you know that he has a brother who plays for Bradley, Phil?
No, I did not.
His brother's name actually is Shayok.
Squeeze me.
Not making up. His brother's name is Shayok. He plays for Bradley.
He's get okay.
There you go. So useless trivia for this week's show.
Yes. But, so, somewhere that's going to end up in Trivial Pursuit, I'm sure.
Yeah. So next time you watch, I'm just saying, if you come across a Bradley game, look for Shayok. That's Muriel's brother.
Okay.
But he'll come in next year, so he joins now a 4-man class for next year, and now there is a scholarship available thanks to McKay's departure. I guess we could talk about Shayok just a little bit. I mean, I know there's some people think, oh, we need big men. But sometimes I think maybe recruiting is like the NFL draft a little bit, where sometimes you take value over need. And if you have a good player who wants to come on campus, come on down, and we'll figure the rest out later. And I think that's kind of the case with Shayok coming on board.
Well, let's be honest here. I mean, we've played Jimmy Butler, who was maybe 6'7", and Lazar Hayward, who was generously given a 6'6 rating.
Right.
Both of them at center at one point in their careers at Marquette. So it's not like it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, there's also rumblings, you know, again, on the interwebs where everything is truth and nothing is wrong, that
for sure.
That Shayok is still growing. So who knows? Maybe he grows another inch or two. And
yeah, so his doctor reports are on the internet now. That's tremendous.
Right. Well, WebMD dumps into a database no one knew of.
I'll just go ahead and erroneously report that he will be 7'2 by the time he arrives on campus.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
That
Let's
is
talk about
great
him
news.
Playing the five.
That is awesome.
And so who knows? Maybe he grows a little bit more, and we can use him there. Otherwise, and I do agree with the you take the best you have, or you know the best value at what you have. So and that's what this is. I also have a little bit of a conspiracy theory with this.
Inspire away.
He seems to play a remarkably similar position and style to Malik Harris. Who,
sure.
In our previous pod,
they're
discussed...
They're both listed as small forwards, yes.
Yes, they're both small forwards, and we previously discussed Malik Harris's, you know, secret, not-so-secret, nobody knows what it is, but maybe it's something, maybe it's not, issues that got him kicked off the team his senior year in his high school team.
Right.
My conspiracy theory is perhaps Shayok is an over-recruitment for Harris, and there's more to the Harris gig than we think. And perhaps Harris is in here, which then Shayok replaces Harris, and that leaves us two scholarships with McKay leaving, as well as, you know, right. Harris not being there, and those
I'm
two
not,
scholarships
yeah.
are then used on big men.
Right. I'm not sure if that's the case with Harris or not. As we said in the last podcast, we'll know during the early signing date if Harris signs, then Buzz will at least be able to comment. I definitely won't say, because people are just going to ask, he won't say what it is that Harris was suspended for. But he will probably comment on how he feels about it and probably say something to the effect of, he made a mistake, he's learned from it, he's moving on, we're happy to have him in the program. I still think that's what's going to happen with Harris. I think this is just a case of stockpiling switchables, which is what Harris and Shayok are going to be for Marquette. But I think that it's worth bringing up just because there is a slight possibility that's true. If Harris's situation is more than we think it is and he ends up not at Marquette, if the problem at his high school is going to be a problem for Marquette, then Marquette is protected at that spot because they've got another guy at that position.
Yeah,
is that
and
true?
We'll know
I don't
what,
think
so. Two or yeah. 3 weeks.
Right, middle of November is when the early signing period begins. So we'll find out then, and we'll see what Buzz has to say about Harris. If I were to guess right now, though, I would say Harris is still coming to Marquette because I haven't seen anything about him being let go or looking elsewhere or trying to figure out his recruitment. All indications are he is still a solid verbal to Marquette, so we'll find out that pretty soon.
Yeah.
Now, of course, everyone wants to know what's going to happen with that last scholarship. Are they going to oversign? You know, the problem is guys keep committing elsewhere as far as big men go. And, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, an NFL fan who says, you know, NFL, you know, being a Chiefs fan, I hear this all the time. We've got to get a franchise quarterback. Why don't they just get a franchise quarterback? Well, they're not that easy to find. You can't just, and it's the same with big men in recruiting. It's not like you can just go to Target and pick one up. Oh yeah, we'll just go get another big man. Sometimes they're really hard to find.
Well,
I know Packers,
and more often than not, they have to be developed. I mean, again, right. I'm not picking on him, but look at Otule. The man's 6'10". He's got feet that break pretty easily and one eye. And we had to turn him into the center that we're talking about dominating this year, at least on the defensive end. So, you know, you just don't pick them off a scrap heap somewhere and plug them in and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's like franchise quarterbacks. Now, Packers fans like you, Phil, wouldn't know what it's like to not have a franchise quarterback. Packers
well, they just you pick them in the draft and they start for you for like 15 years, right?
Yeah, you guys haven't needed one in 20 years.
But, right.
But as far as big men go, yeah, Marquette's going to have to probably find, you know, a project, a guy who is maybe 6'9", 6'10", and just as clumsy as he could be, and it's just something they're just going to have to work on.
Well, as long as it's not a recreation of the other we barely knew you all-star use
Imbau.
Imbau, yes.
Right.
Right. We don't need to go that far down the project hole, but...
No,
but,
we don't. The one guy, one recruit that Marquette is apparently in on right now, according to recruiting services, is a guy named Satchel Pierce. I almost said Satchel Paige. Satchel Pierce.
We're in big trouble for recruiting Satchel
Paige.
Paige
is not coming. Satchel Pierce is, he's a 6'9 center from Pennsylvania. Pitt is apparently hot after him. So Marquette is competing with a former Big East rival in Pitt for his services, as along with a few others. Looks like Seton Hall, maybe Indiana is in the mix there. But that is the one guy that Marquette is all chips on the table for right now. There's always the possibility in the spring of a graduate transfer. I don't know who that could possibly be right now. I don't know who is on track to graduate early and mysteriously end up at another school, a la, you know, Tariq Black who went from Memphis to Kansas this year, and there are several other examples. But I guess we'll see if anyone opens up in the spring. If I were to guess right now, I would say Marquette is going to, you know, go all in on Pierce and try to get him as the fifth member of this class, and I think that would be a solid get.
Well, the other one that's interesting, Pierce is definitely on the radar. The one that I've heard is potentially Trayvon Bunch out of Racine Horlick. Which conveniently is Jameel Wilson's alma mater for high school. Yeah. So I don't know if there's a connection there or not, or if there's any truth to that, but he's a 6'11 center, supposedly pretty good on the defensive end, but offensively a little bit yet to be desired, but it's another possibility, and it's a hometown guy. Who knows? Maybe Buzz Lant tries to land both of them and oversigns, and
as they say, those things figure themselves out.
Right. Well, and you know, Buzz is Alec Baldwin. Always be recruiting.
Always. You never stop because you never know when another guy might leave on you.
Right. Apparently, they can just decide on a whim to be done.
Right. Even if it's between Marquette Madness and the start of the season.
Right.
Don't panic on recruiting, folks. I know everyone wants to see Marquette get a big man. The coaches know they need big men. They're doing all they can. It's just guys keep signing elsewhere. I mean, Torrey Miller was the latest one. I mean, they were in pretty good position with him. He's committed to Colorado. They were in there's a kid in San Antonio named Ben Lammers who was a 6'10 kid. He committed to Georgia Tech last month. I think some of the problems, sometimes they just get on these guys who are just way too good and then there's, go elsewhere because all of a sudden they blow up. They were in great shape with this kid named Miles Turner, who plays here in Fort Worth, who was kind of a top 100, like low 100s, somewhere in the 70s to 100s in the top 100 rankings. But all of a sudden he had a great summer in AAU, and now he's rated fifth in the country. And so everyone is after him, and, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke, all those teams. And so, if there was a junior signing date, Buzz might have had a shot with Miles Turner back then, but he's moved on. There are several other examples where, this Joel Embiid, who's at Kansas, he's a freshman this year. Marquette was in great shape with him last year, and then all of a sudden, great summer. He was on everyone's radar, and then he went to Kansas. But I guess what I'm saying is Buzz's problem is he recruits guys who are too good sometimes.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, again, recruiting is half the battle. Yes, you've got to have some talent and some capability, but the other part is the coaching. So whatever Buzz gets, has he shown – I guess I'm just asking a rhetorical question of, has he shown any inability to coach these players up and get the most out of them?
I'll give you a rhetorical answer. Buzz can coach them.
Right. He's gonna coach them. I mean, it's just going to happen. I mean, in fact, I don't know if you saw it, the Grantland article from Mark Titus, founder of Club Trillion. He wrote a big – did you see that one?
I'd missed that one, actually.
Oh, yeah. Go back and look. I think it was yesterday. But he wrote a big article on the Big East, and the first 8-9 paragraphs were on Marquette and talking about Marquette, and the first 7 paragraphs were in fact, they were talking about how nobody expects anything out of Marquette. They're never predicted for anything. And in every paragraph, Titus went out of his way to say, all right, Marquette fans, stay with me. I promise we're going to get somewhere positive with this statement. And he basically was coming to the point that, listen, no matter what you look at, Buzz is a heck of a coach. Marquette has one of the best programs in the country, and they just, get it done year in, year out. Right. It was a really good article, not just because he was talking Marquette up, but so it's just you got to go with, and we've said it a couple of times now, in Buzz we trust. It's just right. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah, we'll worry about next year. Right now, I guess the bigger concern is for this year, how they're going to replace Dwayne Wilson in that lineup and how the other guys are going to replace McKay's depth in the front court. Everyone's got to step up a little bit more, and I really have no doubt that they will. Marquette will figure it out. I still think they're the favorite to win the Big East in my mind. Maybe it's a little closer now than it was a few weeks ago, but I certainly expect Marquette to win the Big East, and I think Buzz and the players do as well.
I agree. It'll be nice because, well, I shouldn't say nice, but it'll be interesting because this will be the first year we really have targets on our back. We've never mm-hmm. been picked to – I sound like I'm on the team, but Marquette's never been picked to be the number one or the number two. They're always picked to be fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and right. We exceed expectations. This year we got the target on the back, so we got to play like it. So I don't have any doubt we can do it. It's just going to be a little bit more difficult than we thought it was a week ago.
All right, I guess we'll see what happens when the season gets underway. We'll have another podcast the week before the first game, barring any, another avalanche of breaking news between now and then. But I want to thank everyone for listening. I'll go through all the social media rundown. Of course, you can follow us on Crack Sidewalks. That's where we post the blogs. We are on iTunes now, so you can download that for your viewing pleasure. I am on Twitter at JoeMcCann3. Phil is on Twitter at MOOOF23. And you can also like us on Facebook. We do have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page. As I've said before, we're not going to just overload your Facebook feed with bunches of pictures and of puppies and whatever we're having for lunch. We're just going to tell you when we have a podcast up and let you know. So be sure to like us on Facebook. Is that everything, Phil?
I think we covered it. I'm sweating and exhausted, so I think we got it all.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. For Phil Bush, I am Joe McCann. Until next time, seashells and balloons, everyone.